Great.
This is a session with Nelson, recorded on May 26, copyright 2011, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:14 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Hi, Ion. Well,
hey.
This is very excited this week to get to this session. I worked out all of my trigonometry associated with the justifying of the angles, so I'd love to work through one of the past, using the a past example of three closes and work through the whole formula.
Great.
So, I want to focus on how the justifying of the angles affects it, and what specifically it affects, and that stuff as well. So we can skip through
within the brown cow syndrome, right?
what? I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh. Well, see, you're kind of going into graduate school now. So
okay. We
no longer allow or put up with or play with the degrees of separation, who, what, when, where, how, and why. So when you have one of those askings, it turns into how, now, brown cow. So that's brown cow syndrome. You want to ask your questions without those degrees of separation. Otherwise, you may bump into a question pretty easily that is nebulous and can't be answered. Why was I born? How does the formula work? Where am I missing the point? Those outside separations limit your ability and capacity to, quote, get it. So ease into that. We'll give you a little break. It's not a problem. We're just easing you out of it, so you can get into the fullness and the richness of this power that you have encapsulated so far.
Okay, I'm not good. All right, I don't want to get ahead of myself and try and address if there's any potential issues or what you really mean by that or whatever.
Well, what we really mean is don't start a question with who, what, when, where, how, and why.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, great.
And if you do, we'll give you a little break, but they will ease you back into stating the question without those. And the reason being is because it's going to serve you so much better. Because every question you start without those degrees of separation may be answered, shall be answered, can be answered.
Fantastic.
It's great fun. It's this ascension business. It's great fun.
Okay, so I'm going to start by establishing my points.
Okay.
So establish the values of ABC. So GU is, this is very exciting with now that I know the angles,
well,
how the angles
now,
are involved.
Now back up,
I mean,
back up just a little bit. You've been practicing with it. Have you been hitting the marks?
I haven't been practicing with it because I don't know the relationship between the once I have the angles and the sign, the waves, and the different what I have to grab from the waves. Like in terms of now that I do the angles, if the waves, if anything about how the waves intersect between the triangle, if anything like that changes, and I want to talk to you about the C to the negative when I do C, and
The minus sine cosine of the angle of C.
Okay, and I want to do the way in which I place the new tangent, the new x-axis.
Okay, that's fine.
So
you want to do that right now, or you want to go step by step?
I would prefer to go step by step.
That's all right, baby. We with you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. So the odd CAD at one point. So right now I'm just drawing my triangle. And, you know, once you do it with the angles, you start to recognize the reason why you can do it freehand.
Well, no, not why you'd want to do it freehand. You want to have a sighted particulate to gauge. So remember in school, show your work. Nelson,
yep.
Show your work. That teacher could give a shit whether you showed your work or not. All the teacher wanted to make sure is that you were doing the work, that the knowing was yours. And how you gauge and adjust and capacitate it, that's all been relative, you see. If you know
yes.
how to process, then regardless of what's going on, it's checkable. If you get the big picture, you can always check your work. So if you're within a thousandth of a pip, and then you could go back and validate where you're off by a thousandth of a pip, then it's a piece of cake. But if you start
yeah.
trusting some damn computer blah 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 gobbledygook mess, you could get yourself crossways. You start making a couple hundred thousand dollar trade.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you just got to it's about being precise and checking and using different
well,
ways
but
in order
by
to
this,
check your
and by the visual. Now look, Nelson, this is important because you're able to do the visual for the linear perspective. You have every capacitation to check it. See,
yes,
you can
exactly.
take A2 and validate A1. Well, if you
yes.
can prove A1 based on your established price of A2, sports fans, you're on to something then. See, because
now,
then it works.
When I plot the triangle, so when I actually put the triangle on the graph paper and plot my points, should I now find all of my angles? Like, should I do that right off the top?
It would be simpler. Now, because the way your mind works, we say certainly fine. But,
okay,
but
fantastic.
Other people like to take all of A and complete A. But see,
okay.
they're not as linear. They're not quite as linear as you are. You'd like to know the totality of the angles that you're working with. So
yeah.
the pro forma then is established. You're just validating your angles that you're working with. So
yes, exactly.
For you, we say, yes, it would serve you well to go ahead. But we wouldn't say that necessarily to everybody because some folks, you know, like to do one run all the way through.
Mm-hmm. So the way in which I've been getting the angles is I've extended the triangle. So I've extended a line from B all the way to the x-axis and made it a right-angle triangle. Okay.
Good.
And then I've used tan to solve for angle A. So tan is opposite over adjacent. So tan A
is 10 of your value. Is 10 the value of your A?
Pardon?
Is A, the value of A, 10?
Tan.
Tan, not 10.
Not
good,
10.
Good, because we were very nervous there because we were like, well,
okay.
Great, if A equals 10, good, but otherwise it's like, oh, tan, gotcha, very good.
So really, A equals C divided by A. Not the angle A, but A really equals price C divided by price A because it's opposite over adjacent. So,
but it's based on not on those plotted points. As long as that justified plotted point is the angle, then certainly that's correct. And you would validate that when you drop
yes.
your AB line segment back to your original XY axis as a right triangle. Then, of
yes.
course, that plottable position would be right justified by C divided by A.
Perfect. So now what I do is so tan A equals, let me find this now. I mean, you got to make sure your calculator's in degrees, else you get screwed.
Yeah, see, that's just
I learned that.
It's just ridiculous. It's. That's why we wouldn't even begin, because a couple other folks are doing this as well, and they would ask us, they would actually come to the position of, Ion, describe how to use my graphing calculator. And we go, well, okay, which one did you choose? And they don't know. And we're like, well, then we're supposed to help you figure out the graphing calculator that you don't even know or are not aware that is. Kind of, you see, if you can't get that, then you're kind of screwed. So
yeah, that's
you're exactly
sure.
Right. Because they all vary. And if you notice, the points that come from there will not necessarily apply because they're different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'm not just going to do the calculation. Okay,
yeah.
So angle A is 39
degrees.
But they
vary. But since you got the visual, you can double-check your work. So if you have the ability to do that, then all of a sudden it's euphoric because it makes no difference which particular programmed graphing calculator that you engage.
So A is 39 degrees. I did that, by the way. Okay, so my equation is basically tan A equals 0.811364, and then in order to get the actual degrees, you go tan to the negative 1 times 0.811364, and you get 39 degrees.
Okay.
And now to get B, you first have to find the angle of the opposite angle of B, which I've been calling OB. And you do that by using tan again. So it's tan OB. Opposite is the 1.29858. 1.29858 over the B price, which is 1.0020. So tan OB equals 1.29858 divided by 1.0020, which equals 1.2960. So tan OB equals 1.2960. So now I've got to go second function, tan to the negative 1 times 1.2960 equals 52 degrees. So 52.34 equals 52.3460 degrees. So now I take 180. In order to find angle B, I take 180 minus 52.3460 equals 127.654 degrees. And then I take 180, 39.0545. So then I take 180 divided by, minus,
mm-hmm.
180
minus
39.5, 180
yeah.
minus 39.0545 minus 127.654 equals 13.2915 is the angle of C. So C is a pretty small angle. Okay, so I've got my angles.
Do they all add up to 180 degrees?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure
did
with
you,
yeah with the decimal points they would too, because I found C by subtracting 180 by the A and B.
Okay, now easy trigger. The angle of C, based on your dropping of a right triangle, you've got to subtract the amount that B changes the angle from right to make sure it balances, because that means that you're still working with a right triangle, but your ABC is not a right triangle. So you have to make sure you get that angle exact.
Yes. This.
Got it.
I'll calculate the angle of
fine.
The right angle triangle.
Fine.
Just to double check.
That's right.
So
that's right. Now, you're very your own point. But the reason we bring this up right here, Nelson, is if you had an aberrated triangle, let's say your values were queerly plotted.
Yep.
You see, an extraneous triangulation, then you'd really want to have, because it may come out to be that your B angle could be super large.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you see?
Well, what?
You could have a B angle that's a minus.
Yeah.
So if that's the case,
okay,
then all of a sudden that angular perspective could be vast. So that's the reason we're making sure that you're right justifying your, well, you're taking and justifying from a right triangle to calculate the value of A and C, but then that you come back and subtract the differential between your x-axis and where B actually is as far as capitulation regarding the actual angle itself. And you're fine, but you see why we're saying be very careful there to make sure you don't, well, if you're off by a degree or two, when you start working your frequency and period, that can be vast.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's like a boat. If you're off by
okay.
1 degree, you'll end up in fucking Spain.
So I just added up. I calculated the angle for the little piece of triangle that makes it a right angle for C.
Good.
And I did that by taking 180 and subtracting 52, so angle OB, the opposite of B.
Now, wait,
and
now,
90.
Don't use the subtraction to validate your position. You figured what, you've calculated what the angles are. You know your first angle on a right triangle, the first is 90, correct?
Yes.
All right, and then you add the A and the C, and you should come to 180, should you not?
That's what I do. I come to 180.
Okay.
No matter what.
But
I
don't use your validation to substantiate your subtraction.
So you're saying
it's working. Now you're all right. Now it's that works all right for this simple stuff, but when you start getting it into the extremes, that won't be detailed enough because when you start talking about pips, you're talking about a thousandth of a point.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Don't check. Don't find the angle by using the method to check.
Gotcha. That's exactly right. Because then you'll always, your work will always balance.
Yes.
One plus two equals.
You're right.
Three.
I should be using
three
the tan.
Divided by two equals one. Well,
I should
you're
be
right.
using tan for C too. I should
Good.
Be calculating. Yeah,
absolutely.
With
tan. Absolutely.
Okay.
And then when
so
you come back to gauge it. Now you're
going
to be so close, you won't notice. But what we're talking about the bigger picture. When you start pulling B4A4 tangents, that sloppy shit ain't gonna work. See, you want to get it very precise. And by saying this now, saves you much grief and disdain because the bigger the triangle, the triangulation, the more susceptible the shifts are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So what I've got to calculate, what I've got to calculate first is the total angle of C of
Very
the
good.
Right angle triangle.
There you go.
So that would be that I could do opposite over adjacent because I know
Same
those.
Same way. That's
so
right.
C
Same way.
Equals the opposite is basically A. So
good.
A
good.
Over.
See, Now you get that because you're not
yeah.
using your calculation to validate your checking position. You've
actually
done function,
exactly.
And then when you rework that backward, then you get it both ways, and that'll help.
Yeah, I'm
that'll
doing
help.
A self-fulfilling prophecy here, which validates
right.
any check.
There you go. Now
yeah,
you're
which I
stuff.
Don't want to do.
Well,
yeah.
that's right, because you'll convince yourself, but if you're off at all, you're off at all.
Yeah.
Very
so
good.
Tan,
you just saved yourself a lot of traction there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, this is definitely the way, the proper way to do it. Okay, so now I've got to go second function, tan 1.2325 equals 50.9455. okay, now what I have to do is use tan to calculate the smaller C and then take that away from the entirety of the C, right angle justified. Okay, so.
Because then you've compensated for the differential of the triangle that you created from your B, X, Y intersecting point in C. You have to subtract that from your calculation.
Yes.
See,
exactly.
There you go. And that's easy to screw up because it's not obvious. It is now because we've talked about it, but it wasn't when you were in the throes of it. You see, and
yeah,
if you're close,
sure.
You know, close works great in the game of horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can ping exactly. Close is. And
yeah,
dark.
Close works great. Whoever's closest wins, but you don't want close, you want precise.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so delicious.
Okay, so now I'm getting this angle. So 0.77161. 0.77161. Yeah, I know it is. 0.77161. Oh, shit. Tan to the negative 1 times 0.77161 equals 37.6541. Okay, so now what I do is take that and minus it by the 50 number. So 50.9455 minus 37.6541 equals, bye, Julie. Have a good night. Thank you.
Come back when you can stay longer.
So that's 37. So 13.2914. Wow, it's the same. So it's the same number as I had before.
Exactly, but now you're not. You know, see?
Yeah, now you know it is.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because
beautiful.
Good. So, and that won't catch you in the butt until you get when B is plots over A and C is a minus point. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Of the things that can be.
Yep,
so this
exactly.
way what happens, you now have a much better, easy checks and balance position.
That's for sure.
So
fantastic.
Good.
Okay, so that's going to be, that whole step is going to be my plot the triangle step. Okay?
Good.
Okay,
and now do it every time that way, regardless of any quadrant that your new juxtaposed position falls into. Because if you do that, because you had a question about the minus sine minus cos of C, well, if you have that shift from something weird, your checks and balances will apply equally important there, more so than even here.
Okay.
Good.
So now I need to establish my B1A1 tangent. Now this is something that I understand how to do, but I don't totally understand how it's accounted for, place it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
this is easy. Okay, now here we go. We'll explain this. We got a little bit of theory for you that'll help.
No problem.
Okay, now. Your sine cosine frequency, the period that sine cosine wave is, that's not negotiable, correct?
Correct.
It is. All right.
It's a constant.
It's a constant. So that's not budging. So you got no fudge room there. Okay, no problem. Now the next thing is that you're dealing with the aspect of time. Time is a false premise. Okay? So there's nothing to justify time by. You can't justify time because it's a false premise. So therefore, as long as you are graphing or plotting a vibrational capacity and or capitulation, maybe that's the right word. There might be a better one, but that's what's going to get for right here, right now. Sorry.
No problem.
That's what you're going to get for right now. Then what happens is you are now dividing the time aspect for ease of computation based on the number of blocks that you are that are within the boundaries of your plotted triangle that make it easy for you to divisibly calculate the shifts. Okay? You could set B1A1 anywhere you like. But if you do it for 7 blocks over and you're trying to do it for 8 days, then you just created a damn
an issue.
Maniacal mess for dividing each block by those periods. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why we say...
For any purpose, yeah.
For any purpose. And you could make each block be point the square root of 0.378217. Well, you got so much more room to screw it up. If you got 8 days, make it 8 blocks and call it a day, you say.
Yeah,
then,
exactly.
Then,
I'm better off.
Yeah, because it doesn't,
I'm
it makes
off
no difference.
Basically, let's say if I'm doing the easiest way to do it is if I'm doing a week trade or I'm using the formula to look out a week, let's say.
Okay, and decide the best if that's 5 or 7 days. And if you decide it's 7.
So it would be a 10-day triangle and place my tangent at 7.
Certainly. Certainly.
I could do it
because
that way. And then everything's
right.
A nice, a tenth, it's nice
exactly.
And clean.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way to
because you don't want to make that. Now, sometimes you may get caught in a pinch. Let's say you're doing an intra-hour trade.
Yeah.
It might get a little dicey. But if you make it in 20-minute increments, you'll be able to see precisely within a 20-minute flow with the regard of your ups and downs. The same way that you justify your computer trading charts that you have now, they have the time of day, they have the offer, they have the calls, they have the puts, they have the futures, they have the asking, liking, and trading price. And then that bumps up and down and up and down. Well, they could do it in minus milliseconds, too, but you just spend all day ciphering
so that you
got your screens flowing from what you call real time minus 14 minutes.
Yeah. You want to map out the future in logical chunks relative to the tangent.
Good.
Ultimately.
Because the frequency ain't budging.
Yes, exactly.
See, there's your tail. Nelson, there's your tail. The frequency is, regardless of time, frequency is.
Yeah.
And that's not budging. Time, maniacally, is shiftable. So it makes no difference how you divide it. We just say for ease and simplicity, divide it easy for you. Because if you do it that way, then you can get fancy after you know what the hell you're doing, you see.
Yes,
once
exactly.
You get good at this, then it makes no difference. You can just make it be and make it go the way you want it to go because you'd have the capacity to calculate it. Well, as you'd say, well, hey, Ion, at that point I'll have my program down to where I'm just punching in my values and it tells me what the price is. And we say, great,
but
no problem.
For the beginning, I'm going to focus
right.
on it's an art form at the beginning versus a program.
Well, just like any good recipe, you can do it in your sleep, but you can't until you do it the first time.
Yes,
and then you start doing it. Then you don't have to measure your pound cake recipe to get a perfect pound cake every time. But if it's your first fuck, you might better practice a little bit to make sure you get your ingredients balanced. So when you put it in the oven, it always comes consistently the correct outcome.
Now, I just put the B1A1 tangent at the 7th line up from the left. Okay, so we're looking 7 days out.
Very good.
And the B1A1 tangent continues on forever. itself,
well,
right?
In it, yes, it does. And the reason it does is because in that seven-day future, everything will also have a price.
Yeah, so it, but yeah, anything that can potentially land on that tangent needs to, so it goes up and down for good.
Of course, and to infinity.
Now, is
wide
what is
to the sky.
Where it impacts the triangle, is that called something else? That's the B, like the line, the
okay.
segment of line that is actually
that,
connects the
that
triangle
would be
as
A to B two. Line
yes,
segment.
That's what I thought. Okay, A two
right.
is on the top and B two
yep.
is on the bottom.
Right here.
Okay.
That's correct. Now, that's significant because now you have a much more profound conclave of a smaller triangle. Now, your angles
yes.
would be mysteriously the same, would they not?
Yes, they would be the same because you're necking it down by the same ratio.
So look what you've done now. Now you've confined frequency into a shorter wave span. So it's like if you take a 9mm pistol and you get 2 inches away from the target and you pull the trigger, you've got a pretty damn good idea that you're gonna hit the middle of the target. But if
okay,
you take
yeah,
that same,
you put it sort of into a pressure cooker of accuracy.
Precise, if you take that same process and move it a mile away, and it still hits the target, bless God. Bless God, you owned us something then, are you not?
Yeah, that's for sure.
So that's
so
the
everything to the of right
that.
Of this, everything to the right of this tangent, is beyond
B1A1?
My projection. Yes,
whoa,
everything
whoa, whoa.
To the right.
B1A1.
No, A2B2. It's the same tangent, but like everything to the right of it.
Yes.
Is past my. Calculation, like when I get
yes,
my answer
but
to my
it's
calculation.
Inclusive, yes, but it's inclusive of the frequency because the frequency goes on for eternity, does it not?
Yes, exactly.
See,
okay,
so there's your tail. And as you practice this a little bit, you'll get way smart with that little bit of information. Now, granted, Nelson, it's not a life changer this hot second, but it will. Because with the 9mm example, that'll serve you in a little bit.
Okay, great. Well, I imagine that we're getting pretty close to being able to crap out accurate answers here.
Do. Yes, do. And we'll go soft and tender and then make a little money, stack a little money up, and then go to the beach and then do a little more, and then you do one trade a quarter, and you call it a day.
Yeah. Fuck, that would be awesome.
That's
okay, so now...
Then it looks like dumb luck. You want them
yes,
to
exactly.
appear to the world as just blithering idiots out for fun.
Exactly. Even a trade a month, you can look like that. What you do, you know
can.
What you do. You. I plan on syncing it up with rather Luddite moving averages and different indicators and sort of just picking the ones that go. You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? Like at the uh-huh. upper at the upper echelon when we need to be really disguised, when we need to really
uh-huh.
disguise ourselves,
uh-huh.
I'm going to keep it on in, it's going to be consistent with the technicals.
Good.
So
good,
someone
good,
looking
good.
At the statements would be like, oh, okay, yeah, that changed. You know what I mean? Like a standard
yeah.
thing. Okay,
but like on the September the 10th, when everything tells you to run massive shorts on say Dow Jones,
yeah,
see, and then September 11th takes place and you make $1 billion, they're gonna be calling your damn ass and saying, "Why the hell did you hit this?" kind of thing.
Yeah.
See, so you got to be because you'll have the knowing. The vibration
yeah.
won't shift or change. So that's where you'll learn then.
It's,
come back to us before you get to that place, and we'll help you. You sort of spread out your trading accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going, my focus is on sustainability, not obscene rapid growth to the point where I'm a target.
Well, but that's beautiful. Those are pretty words. But when you start having multiple orgasms, you'll lose track of when you came and where you went.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, you
very
can get carried
easy to
away
get,
quickly.
It's yes, because it's kind of
yeah.
like
okay.
This is too much sugar for a dime. Because see, empirically, the all they have to judge you by is history.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna have to pretend. We're gonna have to purposely lose trades.
Well, no, you won't even have to do that. Just make your trades so inconspicuous that they matter not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, see, once you have the right relationship, you could open a new account every month.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you just hop from account to account, institutional account.
Or have 20 trading accounts and do one trade a month and
on
have
each.
One trade in a different house.
Yeah, for sure.
And
that's the way to go.
And you're there.
Okay, so.
And don't take your money. Let your money ride. Then all
yeah,
of a sudden
focus
you become
on
a damn
larger
asset.
Target. Yeah, I
and the
was,
next thing you know, you get somebody pisses you off, and you merge all your money and take them out. Fine.
Okay, so let's continue
Stearns,
on.
Bear
the,
Stearns would have been
around.
Very nervous with you in play. Oh
yeah,
wait, they're gone.
Okay, so now I've got to do sine A. So these are really the angles are what I'm signing and cosing. Like the
isn't
sine
that
A,
the
cos
crux,
A.
Is that not the crux of the entire trading market, is the trading angle?
The crux of the entire market is the fact that they're not utilizing the advantages they have with time, not understanding time.
No. It's not about time. It's because time, no one can understand a false premise. They're missing the vibration of it.
Oh, they're missing the vibration of it.
Because, see, you start working with this just a little bit, and all of a sudden you know when gold is $175 an ounce that it's going to meet platinum. You don't care what that price is, but historically platinum is more than gold.
Uh-huh.
So if you know that gold is going to match platinum, you really don't have anything else to calculate, do you?
No, you don't.
And the day that gold meets platinum, you don't have to be a PhD candidate or graduate magnum cum. Sell the fucking gold and buy the platinum.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I love listening to you, but I want to make sure I get also through the whole thing in an hour.
Come on. Come on.
Okay, great. Thanks. I just don't want to be rude or anything.
You won't. You won't. Because it's in your recording, and this will help you. So it's all good.
Okay. Okay, so now I do sine A, cos A, sine B, cos B. Now, I do these calculations on the actual degree angle.
Yes.
Okay. That is one of the big issues of what I was doing before.
Yeah.
Okay, so sine. So now I've got to go 39.0545. So that's sine A, sine times A. Now, should I be in radians or degrees for this?
Degrees.
Okay, fantastic. And now I've got to do cos, the same number.
And you begin
your
plotting angle at minus one.
Yes, you're plotting the same. You're looking at the I understand its relationship to the circle now as well.
Very good. Very good.
Which is important.
Because it's not
the
radius.
I watched a great video.
It's not the radius of that circle or of that wave, sine cosine wave. It's the degree.
Yes.
Of that sine cosine wave. Very good.
127.654. Is B, 127.654. And now I've got to go cos 127.654, 127.654. And now I can graph them. Graph. Ugh, why'd they all graph as lines? Oh, probably because I didn't put X.
Correct. He didn't set them as a frequency or a period.
Beautiful. Now they're graphic.
Good.
Oh, they're nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's interesting. The smaller the number, the slower the oscillation.
Exactly. Exactly. It's spread out over a broader span.
Yes.
Good.
Okay, now I use the 0 to 10. And that's my triangle. Right?
0 to 10.
Is that correct? Like, okay, now I have to plot all intersection points between AB and B1A1 tangent, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
So those intersection points, do I place the triangle on top of the graph that the waves are on?
Use my
spans of 7? Like, for example,
ABC is your triangle. You're plotting the sine and cosine of the angle of A, and that goes between the two tangents. Then we say, like, you know, the overlays when they had the projection things where you take it away and plot your wave and then lay it back down. ABC is the same. Then all you do is look and notice, okay, Ion, I had 3 points that intersected inside the triangle.
Okay, now, but that triangle is still plotted on top or behind the waves.
Yes.
Using the numbers from the pairs, the pair prices.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so it's not using, like, we've determined that this triangle is 10 spaces wide. It's not by placing a triangle that is 10 spaces wide on top of the waves.
It's by the exact quadrants that you plotted your original ABC triangle from.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to double check that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I have to do now is go back to my plotted points and plot them on top of
the peaks. They'll intersect at the peaks and the troughs. You count the total number of intersections between AB and B1A1 in tandem, top and the bottom, and you get a number. And then you look and see if any of them intersect inside the triangle. If they do, obviously, you multiply them times themselves, then divide by the total number of intersections between the two tangents that are in question.
Okay, great. So right
you
now...
You got that already.
So right now I'm going to take the coordinates of the intersection points. Now, also, I realize that there's another. Should this equation be sine 39.0545 times x? Like, should the degrees be the amplitude, or should the amplitude be undefined?
You must define the amplitude to plot the wave.
Because right now, I don't think my equation is defining the amplitude. But it's the amplitude of sine itself, which
Then you need to convert it. And if you're looking at A, remember the little imaginary line, which would be the center of your circle, of your waves.
Yep.
Okay, the first block would be 1 pi. The second one would be 2 pi. Third one would be 3 pi. So you've got to translate that into pi because you're in degrees. So you can plot those waves within that frequency that you've established.
Okay. I've got to think about that.
That's right. Lay it out in pi, because once you do that, then you'll be able to plot the peak, plot the over, plot the down, plot the under, plot the up, and you'll get the flow of a sine wave, and then you do the exact same thing for the cosine wave. And if you do that, then guess what happens? You'll be able to accurately plot the sine wave up and down, peak and trough, within a frequency, and the cosine.
What's that thing called? A pi wheel? What's it called? That circle, degrees of a circle? Like, I'm trying to find an image.
Yeah, pi r square. It's the radius of the diameter of your wavelength times the radius square.
Okay,
and the reason you do that is because you're in degrees, not in radians.
Yes. Oh,
see, remember, because we said from itch that it makes no difference which way you do it, okay? Others do it another way. But if you do it another way, you have to do it simultaneously all the way through. So you're in degrees, and you're trying to plot a flat wavelength that's being registered in degrees. So if you're going to do that, then you have to take and make it linear. And the only way to do that is to make each mark be 1 over pi, 2 over pi. You know the drill.
Yes. Okay,
that way
so...
Then you can convert if there's an issue. But typically the work that you're doing, it'll flow and not be a problem or problematic.
So how should I... what we're referring to right now is the equation that we're using to express the sine A and sine B and cos A and cos B, correct?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, I just want to double check, because right now, I should be allotting for the amplitude.
Yes. Otherwise, you would not be able to plot them.
Okay, because right now, what should the equation, should the degrees of the triangle be the amplitude, or should that be the distance from the trough and the peak, like the lateral distance?
No, you just plot them. So you must plot them, and then you'll gauge the intersection points where they intersect, because you accurately will have plotted them.
When you say plotted, what do you
mean
by that?
Okay, you have a frequency of how often they repeat, or period. Okay?
Yep.
You may call it amplitude. We don't care.
Yes.
There's lots of words. Okay. You have the intersecting, you'll have the points. Up. You'll go over 1, up 3. And then you'll go over 2, down 3. And you see, you just go up and down for those points. But you have to get that frequency of repetition to be able to see how tight or loose the actual wave is from a frequency.
Yes.
What we're talking about is that you plot that on a flat plane. And there's a specific way you do that, and you can find out how to do that. That's not a big deal. You know it's dimensional, but you're trying to draw it flat. So
You use the circle that each degree is labeled in pi.
Correct. And that's how you know. That's why pi over 1, pi over 2. Then you know how it flows. The same way as if you had a cone and you spun it and had an ink pen. Or we say it another way. If you took a hula hoop and put a magic marker on it and spun it around a wall.
Yep.
It would make that mark. Well, the hula hoop is in degrees. But the way it would plot on a flat linear wall or that plane would be a peak and a trough repeating, a peak and a trough repeating, a peak and a trough repeating. And if you did that by starting at -1, you would set a wavelength within a frequency and within an intersection point between your sine and cosine.
Okay, so 39 degrees, for example. 30 degrees is pi over 6.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
So do I have to find that, what 39 equals in relative to pi? Is that what I need to do?
Well, if you're going to plot it, yes.
Okay, now, let me just think about that. Because right now, for example, when I plot this, I go sine times the actual angle in degrees, sine times 39.0545. Now that gives me, x. Now that gives me what the hell did that do? Oh, I'm in radians. That gives me a wave, like a sine wave. But its amplitude is always limited to that 0.7170 number.
Well, then
which
you're
must
dropping,
be
the you're off.
Exactly.
Frequencies don't go identically the same every time.
Exactly. So I'm not specifying the amplitude properly.
Or, well, succinctly, yes. And if you look on, you can look that up without going with us. You can look that up of setting frequency, amplitude of a frequency wave, and it'll tell you how to do that. It's just the only thing you're not completing is the formation of how tight or loose the wave repeats. And if you play with that a bit, you can calculate that. That's very simple.
Okay.
That's find outable.
Okay. All right. I'll have to do that another okay, so I'm going to have to.
But you can play with that because now you know what the issue that you're trying to search out, see? So it's
yes. Okay, so then what I need to do is plot the intersection points of those waves.
Yes.
That land between the
AB
tangents.
AB and B1A1.
AB and B1A1.
Do.
And
now,
then,
don't throw that information away, because you could also then plot that in reverse or continue that sine cosine if you were to draw a B4A4 tangent to the left of that. And it would be the same wavelength, remember?
Yeah, but it would have to be, it would have to be 7 days to the left, and the triangle would have the same angles.
Or 100 days to the left. Makes no difference. See, your triangle just gets larger. The wavelength wouldn't change.
But does that mean that in the past, the prices are always going to get farther away from each other?
Not necessarily. Because remember, your multiple points, the longer you make it in the past, the more intersection points.
You're right.
Now
so the larger number it gets divisible by?
And by a greater number of points.
Okay.
See?
Cool.
So it's self-cleaning. It's fabulous.
Multiply, and then I have to multiply the x-coordinates and the y-coordinates and
yes.
divide them by the total of number intersection points between
yes.
the A, B, and B1, A1, and I
Absolutely.
Keep A and B separate. So I go
Correct.
Through B, and then I go through A, and then I go through B.
And then you do, if A is on the top, and then you divide A by
divide
B.
Divide it. Okay, and then that number, I...
Either divided or divided by your...
The Maybank rate.
The Maybank rate, and then that becomes the plottable A2.
Yes,
but you
and then
can't
that
plot
becomes...
it until, let's jump ahead, because you got that part. Let's jump
yes.
ahead to the minus sine minus cosine of the value of C.
Okay, now when I plot that, so that answer is A2,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
Or is it?
It is.
But A2 is what I'm looking for. A2 is my answer. Is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, Nelson. But
so that doesn't give you your...
That is exactly your answer. It's exactly your answer. You just don't... You haven't established the new X and Y...
To justify
to
the perspective.
What to plot
yes.
it. Don't. It's
yeah,
not a
okay.
justification. It's to plot it.
No.
Because in the future... X and Y, that landscape is going to shift.
Yes,
the frequency
exactly.
does not. But But it's like gold. Gold hasn't gone up or down since Jesus. But the price of money has. So if your price changes in the future and your X is a plus one and your A2 value is 2, you'd start at your plus one and then go up 2 on your B1, A1, and that'll become your A2 value.
Okay. So could you do me a favor just so I can go through this and make sure I'm accurate in this part of it? Could you tell me the Maybank rate for this trade that I'd want, and then I know that that's right, so I'm not screwing that end of it up?
It's very good, but you have to find that out to suit you, because your perspective will shift and change. And if we do it here, then you would never be able to do it for you. The point of this is to bring you into your place of power. So you have to find that out. And it doesn't have to be Maybank. We just chose that because anything that's a day ahead of today will work just fine.
Oh, really?
That's
so I can just look for a bunch of banks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You can. Standard,
okay,
Charter.
Cool.
You can do, if they're reputable, and most of them are, of
course.
Are
close. They'll be close.
They'll be so close you won't be able to tell the difference. The only point is it already is a day in advance. It's already screwing with time.
Okay. Then I...
That may make it easier to get a more accurate, exact...
Because other people, other... I mean, UBS probably has very compiled.
0.58%. So you'd be able to find that exactly.
I don't know. I can't tell if you actually snuck in the rate for this equation or not. Is that what you just did?
We have no, Nelson, we have no problem assisting you to the end. We have no, we're non-physical. We're happy to help you. But making you dependent on us, it won't be long till you'll be calling non-physical to see if it's okay to move your bowels.
Oh yeah, I'm not trying to be dependent. I'm just trying to make this exact equation streamlined.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to
do. We're with you. We get that.
Okay, fantastic.
But at the same time, once you know, see, it takes the heatness out of the fire. So it's okay. You exactly. So that way you can play with it and it works and you go aha. Then you can double your efforts to make sure that rate is within the equilibrium that you are gauging.
Well, fortunately enough, there's other sources of heat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good.
Okay, so after I have done that, I've divided, then I've got a number, okay, from the Maybank rate division. Then I go sine to the negative 1 times C, cos to the negative 1 times C. Now, is that the angle C?
Yes.
Okay, that's the angle C. Okay,
yes.
So now I'm looking for. I've got that is. I'm trying to plot a wave.
Good.
Correct. I'm not just doing it in my calculator. I'm trying to plot a wave.
You will plot a wave. And then when when you plot the wave, it's going to go back toward the direction of your original AB tangent, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's going to start. It's going to plot on the XY axis like it's left, like it's Hebrew.
That's right. That's perfect. That's exactly correct. Okay, and then once you get that wave, the sine, minus cos plotted, then you're going to look objectively at your original ABC triangle, and you're going to go, okay, Ion, I have more peaks than troughs that intersect inside my original triangle. And if that's the case, then that's your new x-axis. Okay? If it just so happens to be the troughs are, then your new x-axis would be where the troughs intersects, if it's more than the peaks. All right? Now, let's say you spin it back and you have a very squared-off triangle, and you have the exact number of peaks and the exact number of troughs that intersect inside your original ABC triangle, then we'd say find the median, that original point between them.
Okay, so the center of the wave.
The center of the wave
in that case.
And,
okay.
And what that, and now if you listen close now, what you'll find, if that's what the occurrence is, then your original x-axis would be identical to your median of your old x-axis.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So here we go. Here we go. If your value of A is, say, $2, let's just make it easy, and your x doesn't change, and you come to the conclusion and you find out that in 7 days your A2 value is $2 and a penny, okay, and your x-axis hasn't changed, then you'd know your net increase from a 7-day trade would be 1 penny or 10 pips. Or actually,
okay.
100 bips, wouldn't it?
let's talk about that. Can we use an example where it's $2 and like A ends up being $3?
Okay.
Like
well,
that
then,
would mean. Let me just. Let, I just want to think about that for a second.
Good.
I just want to think
You're
about
right.
that because
right.
what's happening is A2 is being plotted by the Maybank rate. Divisible by the Maybank rate. Like when you do that calculation with the Maybank rate, you get one number, correct?
Yes.
And that number is A2, how far A2 is up the B1A1 tangent, correct?
Yeah, well, from your new x-axis, yeah.
Okay, so that the answer to that is actually held until you've calculated your X, and then you can place it.
Right, because it's very possible that you could have a $100 increase.
Yes,
well, that
and then
would be
X
very
would
odd.
Be really high.
Yeah, it would be very queer for that to be the case.
I see
but
what
then when
saying.
You plot the X, and it's way, way down 50, and it comes out to where it's really only moved a quarter, 25 cents, then you go, aha. See, it's how you cross-check your checking. Because now, there are occasions where it doesn't plot at all. Please know that. And you could go back to when Swiss francs were being traded and they ceased to trade, the value is zero. Okay? You can be that precise. It can even calculate if something is no longer trading. If it's no longer trading, then it's flat at zero, and you go, well, it was $1,000, and now it's zero. That'll let you know that it would, from that date forward, it would no longer be traded. It would calculate that as well.
Well, I'm now trying to. So Where are the problems right now? What are the pieces that I don't have that I don't have? And that's pretty much
the frequency of your sine cosine. Play with that a little bit. Double check your Maybank rate or your day ahead rate, regardless, just so it's something reliable. Okay, establishable, validatable. You see what I mean? You wouldn't want a pawn shop gold price. You'd want a COMEX gold price. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Same way. Okay. So that's that, and then being very precise with your minus sine, minus cosine of C, of how you juxtapose your new X axis. Because you have an original X and Y that you are right justifying your angle by. Now, from your B1A1, you have a new y-axis, which would represent the future price of whatever of everything. And so you want to gauge the shift in the landscape from which that price would be gauged.
Yes.
That's all you're doing. And then what you're doing is you're using frequency to validate how the landscape's changing from a future reference that you don't necessarily know. But it makes no difference because it's vibrational. You see?
Okay. Now I should be, when I graph these angles, I'm looking for, basically, these angles are representative of their chunk of the circle. Correct?
No, wait, no, that's a mouthful. Say it again.
These, each, every angle is a representation of its chunk of the circle.
No, each angle is a representation of its vibration.
Of its vibration.
Represented in a degreed, linear, flat, plottable respect.
Okay, so for example, let's take 90 degrees.
Okay.
So, let me just go back to this. 90 degrees is pi over 2. It's a quarter of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
The amplitude of 90 degrees when it's graphed in a wave, is it the same as the amplitude of 180 degrees graphed in a wave?
No, not necessarily.
So what gives me the amplitude of these degrees?
You can just calculate. You can Google that. It'll tell you that. That's the most basic. When you start making each point be 1 over pi, 2 over pi, 3 over pi as you're moving from the left toward the right, then that frequency of calculation is a simple, simple process, and know it, and then when you know it, you'll know it. It'll
okay, so just
you.
So what I need to, so outline or give me a heading on what I need to be studying.
Well, you can Google the exact process of plotting a sine wave.
Okay,
and then do it with
beautiful.
A cosine. Or describe setting frequency in the plotting of a sine forward slash cosine wave.
Setting the frequency.
And, yeah, because the amplitude, the period, you call it different things depending on how you apply it. So what you wanted to get is you want to get the exact mathematical application. So regardless of what your triangle looks like, it's the same process, you see.
And is this degree, is this degrees the frequency or the amplitude?
The degrees are the outermost flow with the cone in a circular motion. The up
okay.
and the down has to do with the size of the degrees of the circle. And you say, well, the degrees of a circle are always the same. We say, yes, then it would affect the tightness or the spreaded outness of the period. Remember the slinky? If you stretch
yes.
the slinky way out, the peaks and the trough become closer to the middle. If you push it all the way together, it becomes as big as it is, which is the full size. But the more you extend the period, the looser the wavelength becomes, but the more intersection points that you're creating because you're expanding
okay.
it and pulling it together. Now, if we say it that way and you figure that process out, then it becomes academic, and that's what we want you to get because then you know. See, it won't be something we're blowing smoke up your skirt tail.
I see what you're saying. So, okay, so I just need to do some study in that area of it.
Play with that, and then once you get a notion, work your formulas. Play
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, now
play
I
it out
now I
history.
Can work through it. I can work through it
yeah.
now.
And then if you're off by a thousandth of a penny, then you know you're fucking close. And if
yep.
you're off by a million two, you know something's afoot.
Yep, exactly.
And then you can gauge because you have the way of knowing, meaning you have the ability, if doing it from past history, to see precisely where you are and how much you're off. So you can prove your science by showing your work. It's like giving you a test and saying, okay, Nelson, here's the answer, now prove it. Okay? And if you can do that, then you certainly can pull future without any problem whatsoever.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, you
it
see, the amplitude.
Indeed.
Amplitude is the height of the peak and the height of the trough.
And the fall of the trough.
And the fall of the trough. And frequency is peak to trough distance.
Would be, and then that would set the repetition automatically of how
often. Oh, actually, you know what? See, this is what they say. They say, okay, a sinusoidal curve, peak amplitude is the distance from X to the peak.
Yes.
Peak-to-peak amplitude is the distance from the center of the peak to the center of the trough.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's
and
why it will vary.
The period.
Wave period. That's right.
The period is not the amplitude.
Correct.
So is the degrees the period of the wave? The 39.0545, is that the period, the wave
it
period?
It would be the degree of angle, so yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So mm-hmm. how
now
where
you've
do
gotta
I
you've got to apply that now. And when we say pi, when we say pi, we're not saying 3.14. You know this.
Yeah, you're saying a lot bigger number. How many decimals should I do? 6?
No, 3.1415926.
Okay.
But now that's going to change because the six repeats, you know, forever. It soon will come to 5. Its pi is going to change. So then it would be 3.1415925 and stop. But that hasn't occurred just yet. It shall, just hasn't yet. So you'll even be at balls to the wall ahead of everybody then as well. But you can do the 3.1415926 for now. We'll be fine.
Great.
But that will change, and that'll be the difference. Now we're talking about a thousandth or 10,000th of a penny, but in your world that could make a difference of $10 or $15 million in a trade.
Yeah, depending on how many orders you're putting on.
And how they concur. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very wonderful. Okay, good.
Okay,
are we all
stuff.
In, all
Thank
done,
you very
all
much,
good?
Ion. Thank you
yes.
very much. All good for this session, for sure.
Very wonderful. Play with your numbers and mark them as so and see if you're off. If you're exact on, keep doing that. If you're off a bit, then you can look respectively at where you are. You see?
Okay, great.
If you're thousandth of a penny, you know you're damn close.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are totally deliciously, happily, and forever Ichabod Crane.
Huh.